Got a new report that has found hidden risks in China's Belt and Road, which could have implications for our foreign policy, independence and infrastructure development. Now, the report is from the New Zealand Initiative. The executive director is Oliver Hartwich, of course, and he is with us. Oliver, morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Some of the examples you use, and this has been long-standing, of course, how they infiltrate various economies around the world with loans and all of that sort of thing. You cite Pakistan, Laos and Sri Lanka. Can I push back and say these are third world countries and we don't have the same issues or not?
Yes, you could push back on that, exactly. And that's another reason why New Zealand actually shouldn't be in that club. That's, I mean, for countries like Sri Lanka, this is an attractive proposition, of course, to have access to potentially billions or maybe hundreds of billions of dollars. But New Zealand actually has access to ordinary capital markets. So if we want to finance and fund our infrastructure projects, we don't have to resort to Belt and Road.
Where do you draw the line between somebody who goes, yep, you can have $1 billion to build that railway line, and it becomes something more than just a business transaction?
Precisely at that point where it's no longer just a business transaction, where somebody wants to draw you into their sphere of influence, you can be sure that this has nothing to do with ordinary business transactions anymore. And at that point, actually, where you think you get a better condition, but you have to do something else politically in return, you're no longer the client of that project, you are the product.
Surely we'd be cognizant of all of that, and if we weren't, we are now, given what's happened geopolitically in the last couple of years.
Yes, I think we're getting to that point. I mean, we've had this memorandum with China since 2017, where we would explore options for Belt and Road in New Zealand. But especially now in the context of everything that's happened in the last couple of years, in the context of Winston Peters' speech last night, where he now opens the possibility of us joining Tier 2 of AUKUS, Belt and Road should really be off the table.
Having said that, what do you make of last night's speech? He seemed, I can't work. First of all, do we need to know what's in Pillar 2? He appears to know and he's not telling anybody. Is that part of the equation? Or should we just join because we want to be more aligned with America than China?
Well, I think that's the gist of it. Winston Peters has made it very clear that he wants to realign with our traditional allies. He wants to get closer to our other Five Eyes partners. And I think there is a good case to be made for that. And in the context of that, he wants to explore AUKUS Pillar 2, even though we are not quite sure precisely yet what it entails.
I mentioned earlier on that the EU are looking at these EVs and this all goes into tariffs and relationship and geopolitics and stuff like that, and the Americans are concerned about EVs and cars and tariffs. Is the Chinese, I don't know what you would call it, view of the world or scenario starting to go wrong for them?
Well, I think China's not doing particularly well economically anyway, but the problem is, of course, who can you trust on figures? I wouldn't trust Chinese statistics on economic growth. But in any case, I mean, what we have to do in other countries in the West, if you like, we have to actually work together. We have to actually increase our own trade opportunities with each other. And we have to get rid of the last remaining trade barriers. And we have to stand together. And we have to reassert the values of liberal Western democracy.
Yeah. How do you get rid of trade barriers with a group of people, and it came into a force yesterday, the EU? How do you get rid of trade barriers when they're looking at 45-55% on Chinese EVs? It seems to me the free trade world's dying.
Well, yeah, and it has been for a while. The WTO is in a terrible state, of course. And when you're talking about the EU, it is good that we've got this free trade agreement. But, of course, there are other barriers to trade with the European Union. For example, the deforestation rules, which really harms our beef exporters in New Zealand. So there's a lot more work to be done. Just having an initial free trade agreement is not enough.
Always a pleasure, Oliver. Appreciate your time. Oliver Hartwich, New Zealand Initiative.
For more from the Mike Hosking Breakfast, listen live to Newstalk ZB from 6 a.m. weekdays or follow the podcast on iHeartRadio.